independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The gunman, a crazy person, just walks right into the school, knocks down the window of my child's door, and starts shooting her and killing her. President Trump, you say, what can you do? You can stop the guns from getting into these children's hands. Put metal detectors at every entrance to the schools. What can you do? You can do a lot. This is not fair to our families that our children go to school and have to get killed.
Lori Aldhoff there, her daughter was killed by Nicholas Cruz this week, and she, as you could tell, it's emotional. And look, there's only so much people could do. This guy was an adult, and according to the law, he was allowed to purchase that gun, and he did everything he said he was going to do as far as filling out all the paperwork and do all that stuff, and he also followed through on all the threats he made, and we'll touch on that in a second. She was not done there. She took the microphone out of the hand of the CNN person, I think it was, and went on an emotional plea, and, you know, unless you've lost a child, you don't know.
I just spent the last 2 hours putting the burial arrangements for my daughter's funeral, who's 14. President Trump, please do something. Do something. Action! We need it now! These kids need safety now!
Yeah. They do. But what do you do? Just out of curiosity, I mean, what more can we do? That's the question that needs to be asked. Well, Chad, you can see something, say something. But didn't they?
On January 5th, 2018, a person close to Nicholas Cruz contacted the FBI's public access line, a tip line to report concerns about him. The caller provided information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts, as well as the potential of him conducting a school shooting. Under established protocols, the information provided by the caller should have been assessed as a potential threat to life. The information then should have been forwarded to the FBI Miami field office, where appropriate investigative steps would have been taken. The FBI says, we have determined that these protocols were not followed for the information received by the public access line on January 5th. The information was not provided to the Miami field office. No further investigation was conducted at that time.
So, people saw something, said something. Now, just let you know, Governor Rick Scott of Florida is so pissed at the FBI that he wants Christopher Wray out, the head of the FBI. He wants him gone. You need to go. Somebody needs to pay for this. Somebody called in, somebody close to the shooter, somebody who said, hey, this guy's got guns. This guy is saying he's going to do these things. I believe he's going to do these things. And you did nothing. By the way, according to other reports that seem pretty credible, because it's pretty much everybody reporting it, 39 times the police paid a visit to his house. 39 times. The only time a cop should come to your house that much is either he lives there or he's having an affair with your mom. That's it. Chad. That's the reality of it all. 39 times. They knew exactly who this is. By the way, metal detectors in the front of the school, they're not going to help you. Ain't going to help you a bit. He climbed over the fence after he Ubered there because he knew he couldn't get on campus in any other way, shape, or form. Then he blended in with everybody as he was running out, but everybody's like, that's the guy that did it. That's the guy that did it. That's the guy that did it. Everybody knew who it was. So, no, it wouldn't have. And I can't even imagine what any of these people are going through at this moment in time. I cannot even imagine what they're going through. Your child went to school. Your child didn't come home. The football coach threw himself in front of bullets. Now, for all of this stuff that we're talking about, and guns, and what do we do, and this, that, and the other, and by the way, one out of every five children who are killed by guns, I'm trying to work out the age again because I'm looking at so much statistics. And this is under the age of 13, is killed by guns. Guns kill more than cancer in some states. But what they're not telling you is the gun that you should be worried about is a handgun, and the issue you should be worried about is suicide. The reality is car crashes and flu and many of these other things are just as deadly, if not more deadly. And the reality is the chances of your child getting into a small wreck or a big wreck is bigger and greater statistically than this. And all of us at some point in time in our life will get the flu, and sometimes on many occasions. This is a horrible incident. But we also, I think, need to keep it into, we need to put it into a situation where we go, okay, look, this is these are things we need to do. We're asking the wrong questions again. There's right questions out there. You know, it's funny. There's a few schools out there that have teachers that are armed. One of them is Weldon. I think they're in Colorado. And everybody's like, oh, see, you know, the right wings are like, this is what it's all about. The left wing is like, oh, you know, yes. Are they armed at this small school? Yeah. But they're also in a school where they don't have any police around anywhere near anything. And on top of that, they're also in a very rural area where bears and things like that are a problem. But they do warn on a sign out front that our teachers are armed. So be wary of such things. Is that the answer? I don't think it is. For them, it may be, partially because it is such a rural area and they don't have police response with any, you know, with any certainty within 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes, maybe an hour. So you could see that. But we need to start asking different questions, not only about mental health, about how we stop and mitigate something that we know is a certainty to happen. There are a lot of things that we need to do. It's not a one-stop shop that's going to work for every place. But until we start asking different questions, we're going to continue to get the same answer over and over and over and over and over again. Quite frankly, that's so frustrating. And we also need to realize that as much as this thing's top of the mind, think about this. If a school in Florida saw 17 kids in the hospital because of the flu and 15, 16, 17 kids die because of the flu all within a day or two or the same day, we would be talking about the same thing. We need to be real about it. We need to understand that there's got to be a better way of doing things. We need to stop looking to the federal government to sort things out, and we need to look amongst our own community on how we go about policing and guarding the most precious things we have, which is our children. We guard banks, right? We guard plenty of places. We guard celebrities. We guard presidents. We guard politicians. We guard the Pope. Better to have and not need than need not have. The reality is we need to look at things in a much different way. And we've been looking at them in the same way over and over again, and we expect a different result, and that there is insanity. But before we throw the baby out with the bathwater and say it's always the gun's fault, it's always his, let's become a little bit more calm, take a deeper breath, let the emotion go out, let the dust settle and say, okay, look, guns are a problem in a lot of ways. If you look at how suicide is with kids. Oh, yeah, didn't think about that. But what do we do there? Well, there's so many things. Flu. Car wrecks. Drugs. All of these things are issues. We need to talk about it. We need to address it. We need to look at ways to combat it, to mitigate the thing that we know is certain to happen, which is there will be some other jackass that wanders onto a school. There will be some idiot that goes into a mall and does what that's going to happen. How do we mitigate it? We know that it's going to happen, but if we take it amongst ourselves as a community to address it with the school boards, to address it with the local municipalities, or whatever it is that we have to do to say, look, we don't need them. What we need is to sort out how do we do it for ourselves without having to turn to the government for everything. Because that's never the answer. We're the answer to the question. It's just how do we want to deal with it? 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. You can tweet along with us. Casper? No, CarShield. Phil? I said CarShield. You said Casper. I can't take Phil anywhere, guys. See, Phil doesn't get it because he doesn't have a car. I got him CarShield anyways because Phil lives literally 3 feet from work. I have to drive, and I drive a ton. I did almost 1,200 miles last week, and did I worry about my car? No, but I will tell you this. Betty's getting a little bit older, longer in the tooth. I don't tell her that. But because I have CarShield, I've got extended vehicle service protection for them, I don't worry. I don't worry. I know that if something was to happen to her, like a fuel pump goes out, that's $500, right? And I'm awful with cars. I couldn't even tell you, you know, that. And God forbid a water pump goes out. That's over $1,000. And then you've got stuff that I couldn't even tell you. Control arm, torque converter. Wait, what? If that breaks, that's going to cost you thousands of dollars to fix. And have you seen cars lately? Producer Phil and I have talked about it. You open up some cars. You used to like to work on cars, right, Phil?
Oh, yeah. I love to work on cars.
Now you open up a car and you're like, okay, I have to get one of those things and I have to get it above my head. And then I have to take the entire engine out and then I can change the oil. That's not good. That is not good. Those things cost thousands of dollars just to replace some of these widgets. That's what CarShield's for. Covered repairs. Extended vehicle service protection from CarShield is going to give you 24/7 roadside assistance, a rental car while your car's in the shop. And yes, you choose that shop. They get them paid directly. So you know you're getting it done the right way. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield like I did before something goes wrong. Call 800-CAR-6100 and mention code Benson or visit CarShield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Benson saves you 10%. A deductible may apply. What's next?
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What is next for this whole Russia investigation? You know, I don't follow a lot of this, and I'm going to be honest with you. At this point in time, I don't care. What's next is they indicted 13 Russians. We knew the Russians were involved. They've indicted 13 of them, but there's no smoking gun yet. I don't see any of that. And I know a lot of people are still screaming and yelling. Hillary came out today and said, we finally found out the truth of what we always knew. What? That they did something? I think we all kind of agreed that they did something. But what you think happened and what really happened, I think, are two different truths. Your truth is he stole the election with the help of Putin and his buddies. The truth is you were a bad candidate. And yes, while they played the game, the reality is the ending was the same whether they were involved or not. But if it makes you sleep better at night, you should sleep on a Casper. Then there you go. But what's next is months and months and months and potentially a half a year and maybe longer of more investigations and more investigations and more investigations. So if you think this is going away anytime soon, if people think that the noose is tightening around Trump's neck and his political career and his life as presidency is over, you're fooling yourself. And if you, for an instance, think now that this has come out, that this is all over, done and dusted, and Trump can go on about his business with nothing to worry about, again, you're fooling yourself. What's next is more of the same when it comes to this. That's the reality of the world we live in. Things move slow in D.C., especially if they're running it.
The FBI has determined that protocol was not followed. We will conduct an in-depth review of our internal procedures for responding to information that is provided by the public. On behalf of myself and over 1,000 employees of the Miami field office, we truly regret any additional pain that this has caused.
Oh. I just came out and apologized about not catching that one. If you didn't hear earlier, the FBI was tipped on January 5th that somebody close to Nicholas Cruz was indeed worried that he was going to do something like he did on Valentine's Day. And lo and behold, he did it. The FBI was tipped to it, and nothing was passed on to law enforcement anywhere or handled in any way, shape, or form. It was essentially discarded. And ooh. And oddly enough, and quickly enough, they came out and they said, hey, we're super sorry about this. We screwed up. We made a massive mistake. And right now, Governor Abbott is calling for, Governor Scott is calling for the firing or the resignation. Either one he'll take of Christopher Wray, the FBI director. But if you're Trump, I mean, God, you have to be just kind of kicking yourself because you're like, oh, dude, I could have totally got rid of Comey right now and nobody could say anything. Right? Because if you get rid of a second one, you're like, I mean, nobody's going to be mad at me if I get rid of him because of this, because everybody, you know, they're kind of out for blood. But that's the second one I've gotten rid of. But, man, if Comey was here, I could have just totally canned his ass, and nobody's going to say a thing. They'd be like, Trump did the right thing on that. Thank goodness. But people, you know, they want accountability. And accountability in government, as we all know, with how many screw-ups we see, how many times things are absolutely botched and or just in, you know, incompetent human beings, things are never, ever, ever, ever sorted out in the way that you would in the real world, where there's accountability, and if you jack the pooch like this, you're probably going to pay with your job. Nope. They just move you from place to place. And that's not good. It's not. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet along with us. Eddie Zillion, I think his name is. I think I'm pronouncing it right. He's going to join us next. Cryptocurrency, right? But he's 18 years old, and he's rolling deep. He's rolling deep. A millionaire. Started at 15. You get where I'm going with this, kids. We interviewed him the other day. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Cryptocurrency. We've talked about it before. Some people are excited about it, but a lot of people don't know exactly what it is. This kid, and I say the word kid, he does. He is the wolf of Crypto Street, as they call him. He's an Ohio teenager. He uses an entire savings to get into cryptocurrency, and now he's doing all right. Eddie Zillion joins us. Eddie, by the way, what kind of car are you driving?
Hey, guys. My name's Eddie. I have a couple exotic cars. I have a BMW i8 and a Z06. So
nice. Living the life as a youngster. So let's talk about it. You were 15 years old. You started looking at these, cryptocurrencies and stuff, and you weren't quite sure about them, and there was nobody offering any advice. How did you say, I'm going to try this thing?
So pretty much I heard about cryptocurrency, and I was like, well, this looks, interesting, the concept behind it. And at the time that I started, there was nobody really to teach me because, it wasn't big at that time. So I kind of had to find everything out myself and research online, read books. I tried to find every YouTube video on it, which there were none. So it kind of started there.
So here you are, you're starting to throw some money into it. You throw $100 here, $1,000 there. Next thing you know, you've burned through your entire savings. And were you starting to see, because everybody knows what Bitcoin, they've heard of Bitcoin, they don't know exactly what it is, but was it more than just Bitcoin? Were you looking at several currencies, or was Bitcoin the one?
Well, see, I never actually invested in Bitcoin originally. I invested in Ethereum originally. So Ethereum is what kind of, I found out what Ethereum was through Bitcoin. And, people say, oh, you invested in Bitcoin because everyone knows what Bitcoin is. You know, not everybody knows what Ethereum is, even though it's the second largest one. But, yeah, I pretty much invested into Ethereum, and, you know, that's where it began.
Talking to Eddie Zillion, who is a zillionaire. See the way I did that there, Eddie? We're having fun here. Let's enjoy ourselves here as we talk about these kind of things. Because I don't think people realize, you know, this. You represent the new world of investing, of a younger generation who is looking for alternative investments because you feel comfortable. You guys, you were born, you know, and your generation. I have a seven-year-old. He's born with a computer and a tablet in his hand. I wasn't. I'm 47. I wasn't born anywhere. I didn't get a computer until I was in my 20s. Could you imagine that? So you look at this and you say, hey, there's profit to be made here. When did you realize, when did you start seeing after you start investing that there was money rolling in and this is something that you were going to be able to turn a profit on?
So believe it or not, actually, I'm actually not that good with computers. I'm just good at analyzing trends and, you know, I was able to find this and I became good at it. But pretty much around, I would say about 3 years ago,
started rolling in the money?
Yeah. So I pretty much right when I invested 3 years ago, within a day, I saw returns. So I invested $100 and, you know, making $10 off of $100, that seems like nothing, right? Like, oh, I made $10, like, oh, no big deal. But if you think about it, that's a 10% return on investment. So that means if you put in $1 million, you would have made $100,000 in a day. You put in $1 billion, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It depends how you scale it.
So you look at this and you see the returns coming in. And again, you're a young kid and you're throwing money in. And all of a sudden, when did you start saying, wow, here comes some big money. I can afford some stuff. Life is going to be much different. When did you start to realize that, hey, I you know, here I am a teenager and I'm able to afford a, you know, six-figure car?
Well, I've always been holding my cryptocurrency. I haven't really cashed out on any, but I actually have other business ventures and I actually also, you know, with my company, Cryptocurrency Financial, you know, I kind of funded it with that. I never really wanted to take any money out because it'd be stupid to withdraw your money if your money's making you money, right?
Absolutely. Talking to Eddie Zillion here, who is a cryptocurrency consultant. Now, let's talk about that. So, you know, everybody's on this, you know, the rage of cryptocurrency, and you see Bitcoin is the famous one. It's traded on the Chicago Merc. Next thing you know, one day it's up at 21,000. Lo and behold, here we are, you know, just a few months later, and it's crashed in value. People are unsure how this thing works. And how does Bitcoin compare to a lot of these other ones? When people come to you and say Ethereum and all of these other ones that are out there, why should I invest in this one over that one? How does it differ from Bitcoin?
Well, you see, Bitcoin actually doesn't work off smart contracts. Bitcoin works off of mining it pretty much. Its technology is actually much more basic than any of, you know, these other cryptocurrencies. And like, for example, Ethereum, it's like a very high-tech version of Bitcoin. And pretty much it took that original technology, made it better. And now all these new cryptocurrencies you're reading about, seeing, investing in, all it is taking Ethereum's code, Litecoin's code, you know, the original cryptocurrencies, and it just altering the code to make it better.
So when people come to you, and like, who would come to you? Is it businesses? Is it individuals? Is it like, you know, is it financial companies that are coming to you and saying, hey, Eddie, we see what you do. You seem to have an understanding of how this thing works. How exactly do I trade this? How do I get into it? What's the right one for us?
So you want me to tell you how I began or?
Yeah, go for it, man. Throw it out there.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, I pretty much began advising a bit about 2 years ago. And, you know, I realized, well, you don't really need a college degree to do this. You don't need, all you need to do is learn it. You have to understand how it works. You have to understand how to trade it. And you have to have someone who can help you a bit. So I started off helping people like my friends, people who haven't, you know, don't really have a financial opportunity, people who want to pay for their school, you know, low income families, stuff like that. So that's kind of how it started. And, you know, I probably helped about 100 people. And then I realized, well, you know, this isn't that hard. I mean, I'm helping all these people and, you know, I continue to help people to this day, but I kind of progressed and I started, Cryptocurrency Financial. And at first I started off just, you know, helping people by, you know, helping them set stuff up, telling them what to buy and sell, like recommending. But I ended up turning it into a program that literally gives everybody the tools needed to trade and make successful trades. So like charts, you know, things of that sort. And I also created an education program. It takes about 2 weeks to complete. So, I mean, you know, there's a community group chat so investors can discuss with each other. And, for example, let's say somebody who needs this done in this field in crypto, there's usually somebody in the group chat that can do it. So instead of people, you know, everyone coming to me and everyone asking me, it's kind of a community helping each other. Everybody wants everyone to succeed. So,
oh, it's interesting. Eddie Sillian joins us here. Is you know, you are the Wolf of Crypto Street, they call you. Moving forward, you're how old are you now?
I'm 18 now.
You're 18. When I was 18, well, I was blessed. I was playing soccer in Europe, so that was pretty cool. But you know, you're 18 now, and you're looking at this thing, and you're putting this thing together. You're looking at cryptocurrency, and you're saying to yourself, "Okay, I've got this business. I've got this thing. What do you want to do with your life? I mean, you know, that's a weird thing to ask 18-year-old, but you seem to have something down, you know, that you're enjoying. Is it the financial industry altogether, or is crypto going to be your go-to thing long term?
So believe it or not, I'm actually going to a dental school, and I realized this about a year, maybe 2 years ago, that in the world of business, pretty much either you know it or you don't. All school teaches you is fancy terms and concepts. It can't teach you to be a business person. It just simply cannot. So I realized there's no point to go to business school. So I was like, well, you know, I'm a good student in school. What can I do that will help people? What can I do that will provide me with a good income? And I decided, I was like, well, I like dentistry. I want to be an orthodontist. And crypto doesn't consume too much of my time. So, you know, let's just say that I am still making money to that point. And most likely I will, because the volume of the market goes up pretty much every day, with a few exceptions. But I realized that that's probably the best career path for me.
Nice, man. You got to love that. So you're going to be Dr. Eddie. That's a cool thing. I mean, you know, you got the cool cars. You got some money in the bank. You got your own consulting firm. The ladies must be just coming out of the woodwork. Do you have a Valentine?
Yeah, actually, I've had a girlfriend for about 2 years, 2 months.
Okay, so she got in early. So she got in early on the Eddie Express. She just didn't show up because you had the nice rides.
Yeah, no, before all that.
That's a good thing. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on today. And if people want to check out your thing, because people are curious, and I get a lot of it. We talk to a lot of people, you know, about all kinds of financial stuff. If somebody says, hey, you know, we're interested in this, and how do people get in touch with you to check out your program?
So pretty much you can find me on cryptocurrencyfinancial.org, or you can go on Instagram and message me at Eddie_Zillian. So EDDY_ZILLAN. Feel free to send me a message. I always try to respond to every single person who tries to message me. So feel free.
Man, good luck in the future. Have a good Valentine's. And we'll look forward to next time we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you about or, you know, orthodontistry and stuff.
Yeah, sounds great. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so very much. Eddie Zillian right there, 18-year-old crypto consultant. You know, it's so interesting. You know, again, he's 18 years old, and they did a big thing layout on this kid. And I will tell you this right now, man, I'm looking. He's doing all right. He is. I mean, at 18, Producer Phil, what were you doing at 18?
I wasn't doing that.
Were you driving a BMW 8 or whatever he's driving, and that like super Honda pimp out, you know, thing that he's got there, whatever it is, that costs six figures? Probably not.
I was driving a four-door Ford LTD with a Pray the Rosary bumper sticker on the back.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I was driving, I was in Europe, and I was driving this awful blue car. I didn't even know what it was called. I think it was blue car is what I called it. To be honest with you, I think it was, this is, you guys may have never heard of it. So you remember Yugos, right? Well, Russia had a car that was similar. It was a Lada. And one of the teams we were playing for, they had a lot of those Ladas, and it was awful. It was just, It was, yeah, I did not have one of those, man. That's a kid right there with the future. Don't be surprised if you don't hear more about this kid. And I have a feeling, as much as you want to be an orthodontist, that somewhere down the road, he's going to go, man, I'm worth $50 million, and I don't know if I want to look at people's teeth all day. I don't know if I want to. 323-538-2423, at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. You can tweet at us. Please do. You can also text the program. How do you feel about Valentine's Day? Do you have a go-to song? Do you take your honey out for a dinner? Does she take you out? What's your go-to love music, right? Because somebody just tweeted in a minute, all day long I listen to Spandau Ballet. I'm like, oh, God, that's just awful. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality. With a twist. Say what?
The earthquake struck Mexico's west coast about 77 miles from the city of Oaxaca. Yana Persley, a seismologist with the USGS, says the quake was a shallow one, and she says that can be a problem.
At this point, we do not have any information on damage or injuries, but it's strong enough to cause damage.
This is the third major earthquake for Mexico in the past 2 years. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Yeah, say what? If you've never been through an earthquake, you know, growing up and living in Southern California, and, you know, you've got hurricanes in the south. You have blizzards. You've got tornadoes. Pretty much all of us at times could have heat waves. But earthquakes are something different because you understand. You look outside and you see, okay, even tornadoes, while there's not much of a warning and they're getting better at it, the reality is, you know what you on a beautiful, bright, crisp day, you're like, there's no tornado coming. Right? On a warm day with no clouds, there's no tornado coming. Right? You know what the signs are. Say what, Chad? Same thing goes for the blizzards and for the likes of hurricanes. And you know, hey, it's coming. It'll be here in 3 days. This is what's going on. We're watching it. Doesn't work that way with earthquake. Earthquake is you're sitting there and all of a sudden, what is that? So by all accounts, it looks like it was a big one, 7.2. And the points are really important because every time that thing goes up even one tick, it magnifies it tremendously. So, you know, if it goes from 7.2 to a 7.5, that's a massive earthquake. And a 7, anything over really a 6, you really feel that. So we'll see what comes out of that. But definitely a shaker in Mexico. So you say to yourself, self, I've always wanted to be a model. I get it. No, Chad, I'm serious. I know you have. There is a company for you, a modeling agent for you, if you are not Howie Shea, pleasing to the eye in a modern, sophisticated, societal way. Maybe you're a quirk. There is Ugly Models. That's a London modeling agency. And not everybody here is ugly. It's really about the uniqueness of people. The punk rock look, the old guy who's got, no hair and like 12 different colors on his beard and stuff like that. In fact, I one of my neighbors when I lived in L.A. was this old guy who ended up being in the movie Blade. And this guy was tattooed all over and he was in his 70s. And it was so interesting because the back of his head was shaved and he had this like giant sun face on there. And he had a huge tail that went down from his hair and it looked like the beard. Unique. That's what it's all about. Well, they've got all kinds here. They've got tall people, short people, fat people. You name it, fat, thin, large, small. They say we've got it all for everybody. Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Right? Say what? And unique is unique. And it's interesting. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. You can tweet along with us. So, how about I do something for you? How about I, along with our good friends at LifeShield, give you a $300 value? For free. What is it, Chad? Cameras. I got two free home security cameras from LifeShield, $300 value. LifeShield says enough with big home security companies, and there's a reason for that. What do they want? They want forever contracts. Sign up with us. It's going to last forever. You're going to get old equipment, expensive monitoring and installation fees. None of that with LifeShield. LifeShield is a leader in home security, offering the lowest price for home security with no contracts. No contracts. You get two free cameras for a limited time. And it's great. LifeShield gives you four layers, one, two, three, four layers of protection. Even if your power goes out, your phone lines are cut, LifeShield protects you. And since you install LifeShield yourself in minutes, there's no installation fee. And remember, no contracts. And you get 24/7 pro monitoring for burglary, fire, and carbon monoxide. That comes standard. Order now, and LifeShield's going to give you two video cams for free. That's a $300 value free. And no contracts. Visit LifeShield.com. That's LifeShield.com. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Got a poll up right now. You're going to see Black Panther. You're going to see it this weekend. You're going to see it at all. 20% said they're going to see it this weekend. 56% said, no, I'm not interested. And 24% are like me. They're going to see it, but just not this weekend. Take the poll at Chad Benson Show. Text us as well. 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.